104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac, leading off with the big story of the day.
I like John Elway today, man. It was fun. What's that?
I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, that was funny.
Funny?
Parts of it were kind of funny.
Legit funny?
I thought so, yeah.
Is he picking up his game?
I mean, he just came out and said this is the dumbest press conference. Do we have that, Richie, where he said this is the...
Oh, he was listening
yesterday. I mean, that was literally the first thing he said.
There's many dumb ones. This is one of them.
This is definitely one of them. I told you, back in the day, it used to be... I mean, this is a long time ago, I guess. When I was with the covering the Bills, it was a whole lunch. They brought all the coaches. It was fun. Like, there was like 100 people there.
Even the Case Keesums, those press conferences are dumb.
Yeah, well,
when you look back at it,
some point.
A year later, what was the point of it? All the love he gave, mispronouncing the name.
Yeah, I mean,
and
classic,
and then he's gone.
There's classic
he's gone.
Moment. No, but you need those.
This
classic
is our
moments.
Future. Turned out to be a dumb press conference.
Case Keesum, Keenum.
Broncos
Keenum.
Nation.
No, Broncos Nation.
Broncos Nation.
No, we're not Broncos Nation. We're
Welcome to Bronco Land.
Bronco Land.
Bronco Land. Welcome to Bronco
Land. Welcome to Bronco Land.
You know, he's, I don't know. He told a funny story about Tommy Maddox. That was pretty good. You know, it's like, how do you feel when somebody drafts your position high in the draft?
Right.
You feel like
Which
crap.
Dan Reeves did.
Yeah. I talked to Woody Page about that whole time. Woody's great.
I don't think that went over well.
Not with John.
Mm-mm.
But we'll get to it. We'll get to it all. Do you got the John Elway, Tommy Maddox stuff? We don't have that either? Oh, okay. Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah, go ahead, play it, because I don't see it. We're just going to interact together here. We'll get it going. But the Tommy Maddox thing was funny.
Do you remember when you were the quarterback and they took Tommy Maddox?
Yeah. I was standing at the baggage claim in DIA. Yeah. And we needed a wideout. I said, oh, Pickens must have been gone.
Wait, DIA was a
hold on. Yeah, hold on, I'll tell you.
He didn't go until the second round.
Well, were you upset? Or
sure. Yeah. How'd that work out? Yeah, well.
How'd that work out?
He was standing at DIA?
He wasn't. The DIA was 3 years away from being built.
I think it opened in 95.
Right. John was wrong. It's another classic Elway
wow.
moment.
Wow.
It's another.
How'd that work out?
How'd that work out? It's a classic Elwayism. He was standing at DIA 3 years before it opened at baggage claim.
Waiting for the baggage system to deliver his bag that never worked.
I mean, I guess he's talking about Stapleton. And then, yeah. You know, the question, you know, how many times has John Elway actually stood at baggage claim? But maybe quite a few, I guess.
Well, back then he wasn't, NFL money wasn't what it is today.
What a great line. How'd that work out?
That's pretty funny.
I got to admit, there's things that John has definitely screwed up on over the years, but he's funny. He's
when he's off the cuff.
Yeah.
Not prepared.
I like John like
not
that.
Like a prepared statement or
right.
anything.
Those are my favorite John times.
Yeah, I guess it's more real.
Yeah. It's like just a dude.
How'd that work out?
How'd that
That's
work
brilliant.
Out?
A lot of people can say, well, how did Paxton work out? Or
no doubt about it.
Brock? Or
yeah, how'd Brock work out? How'd Paxton work out? How'd VJ work out? How'd Mike McCoy work out? How'd... How's Chris Harris working out these days?
Mm.
Yeah, Elway on Chris Harris. Here's some Chris Harris sound.
I don't have time right now, so we're busy.
This is like why he hasn't dealt with the Chris Harris situation. All right, here we go.
I don't have time right now, so we're busy with the draft, and we'll talk about Chris. He's on the contract, and so we'll talk about that when the draft's over.
Well, a couple of years ago.
But I just want you to say something. When I say this, I said we're going to talk about it. That doesn't mean we're going to do anything.
Nice.
How'd that work out?
He's prickly today. What? Can I ask you something?
Yeah, of course.
How you mentioned yesterday how easy the draft could be. Auto draft.
Yeah.
Take the best available.
It's not much to
so
it.
So how much time is John Elway allocating to all these players? And how difficult is it to get a contract done if you put the right numbers in place?
It's not hard at all.
Hour?
Yeah.
As long as you don't use a fax machine?
Yeah. I mean, were you really busy over the weekend?
Well, he was. It's not football related.
No, he had a good weekend from the videos that his wife posted on Instagram. Looked like it was fun.
There's no...
By the way, I love the fact that John Elway says he hates like social media, doesn't pay attention to it. And his own wife is putting things out on social media all the time.
That doesn't mean that he still can't hate it.
No, he probably does hate it. He probably really hates it. He probably should hate it.
Your wife hates Game of Thrones. You're still watching it.
Yeah, well, I don't really care what she thinks about that.
Exactly.
Gotta see my dragons.
I don't think John's wife cares much about what he thinks about social media.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, she's happy they're on vacation. But to your point about time, I mean, that's of course ridiculous. There's another one, too, about, he's talking about how much he's talking with Fangio about everything.
Good on the defensive side and had a lot of success there. So, obviously, we're getting to know what he does defensively and on the personnel side. So, there's a lot of conversation with Vic and what he's looking for. And plus, he's proven that he's been very good on that side.
No, that's not what I was looking for. There was a moment he said, sorry, my bad, he goes, I'm going to start talking to Vic like this week, like about their philosophy and strategy for the draft.
He's been away. He doesn't have time.
I was like, this week?
That's why he doesn't have time for Chris Harris right now.
Like, wait.
He's going to talk about draft now.
He was like, if we could find that.
It's a countdown. It's 3 days.
If we could find that, Richie. I was like, wait. It was definitely one of those moments. Every John Elway press conference, there's moments where you're just like, huh? You're like a.
Is he all in here? Is he? Has he been since the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I kind of.
He seems at times disinterested in
his job. Can you blame him?
There are guys that would kill. There's 32 guys that do what he does.
He's been doing it for a decade, though, and he's. I got to think he's bored to tears with this whole thing. This is really important. Like, this is essentially...
Bored to tears doing what? The entire job?
Yes.
Press conferences?
Yes.
Drafts?
Yes. All of it.
Then why not walk away?
Because you can't walk away when you're 11 and 21 over the past 2 years. You just can't do it. I mean, you can. Yeah, all right. Go ahead. Play this.
No, it's the same. I mean, everybody has the input. All the coaches have had their input. We've had everybody rank all the different positions and have involved the coaches as well. And then Vic will be right in the middle of it also, too. So, I haven't had a chance to sit down with Vic, but once we get closer, we'll sit down and start talking strategy and what we're looking at.
It's 2 days away.
Is that why they give him 10 minutes on the clock? So the GM and head coach can talk about who they want to pick?
Wait. Think about that one for a second. We've been too busy. When we get closer.
I will say this. A lot of what most GMs are doing right now is going to be a bunch of wasted time.
Right.
Because a player that they wanted, that they spent hours on.
Right.
Scouts.
Gone.
Visits.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Nothing.
Somebody else took him.
Combine. Senior Bowl.
So maybe
private workouts.
Maybe he's thinking this is all a waste of time.
I can't blame him. I can't blame him. You make up a board. You got 100 guys up there. Hopefully you get a couple of them, right? Then what? It doesn't even matter if you don't have a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, it's irrelevant. So that's it. Pretty simple. So you tell me, how engaged you think John Elway is in this whole process? Do you think he could find this interesting?
If his words are the truth, then he doesn't sound very excited about the draft, making his team better. He doesn't sound interested in the players. And he's doesn't even know what his coach wants in the draft.
That was a
classic.
Does
that sound like a guy that he's all in?
No.
Lives, breathes football?
No.
He sounds like an owner.
Yes.
He does.
Because that's what he wants.
Because owners are just kind of periphery, kind of, you know, right. outside looking in.
Right.
Macro.
Right.
View of everything.
Right.
And that, 3 days before the draft, is what John Elway has.
You know, it's 2 days before the draft. If I pass Vic by the vending machine, you know, maybe we'll... I don't know if we'll chat it up. Who knows? We'll see him on Thursday.
Coaches have done their rankings.
Yeah, I got a list. They were asking Elway, do you care about, you know, because the Raiders, like, fired all their scouts because they don't trust anybody. So they asked, well, do you care who sees the, he goes, no, I don't care. There it is. Do whatever you want. You know what, though? John's actually right on all of this. He's not wrong.
How much difference do you think there is in 32 different teams, draft board, big board, whatever they call it, their player rankings?
Minimal.
Because all the scouts, they all hang out together. They're all there. They're all the there. Different scouts. They're right. all friends.
Right.
They may have disagreements, but they're all going to be in the ballpark.
Right.
So there isn't really much secrecy within who they like and what they need. Everybody knows what they need. I told you yesterday, the top 10 in the draft, 8 out of those 10 do not need a quarterback, will not take a quarterback. So you don't have to care about what they think about the quarterback. But a lot of it is a bunch of wasted time.
Here he is talking about quarterbacks.
What about them? They're on the board.
They're on the board?
They're on the board.
What board?
The big board. Haskins and Locke. What do you think about Haskins and Locke? And
what about them?
What about them?
They're on the board.
There they are.
There you go. Every team's got them.
No, the beginning of the whole thing was hysterical. He comes out and just says, this is the dumbest press conference of the year. Let's go.
That's how he started it.
That's how he started it. I've got that audio, Richie, if you can't find it. You don't got it? Oh, okay. I'll get it for you. Oh, just look at my Twitter. Dude, just look on my Twitter because I posted it because I thought it was hysterical. It was literally... the first thing he said. I posted the video on my Twitter, so just look at it from there.
With his past drafts, maybe he's just thinking, I'm just going to wing it this year. Why not? I put all that effort into drafting Paxton Lynch, and what did it get me?
Nothing. It was such a waste. And we moved up.
How much time did he spend on Paxton Lynch? Maybe he didn't spend enough.
Probably not. I doubt he talked to him because have you ever talked to Paxton Lynch?
I thought he had a visit here.
Did you chat with Paxton Lynch at all?
No, I just heard his press conferences and mentioned something about the sand coming down from the sky. As soon as I saw that first thing, it was from DIA, real DIA.
Yeah.
His drive over to Dove Valley to do his first press conference, and they had a camera in the car, and he was talking. I was like, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
I can't. He's no way can he play quarterback in the NFL.
To call Paxton Lynch an empty vessel is an insult to ships. But you knew it like that.
What was his Wunderlic?
Like instantly. Oh, I don't know.
That's
terrible.
All I needed to see was his Wunderlic.
Here's what you need to look at. His Wunderlic and his major in college. And then more or less it tells you everything you need to know. And then Bill Musgrave came out, you know, at the end of the rope and was like, what, they have 8 plays in Memphis? Which is, this is your current coach. This is your guy, like, insulting you. And then he was like,
he's hedging his bets. He's making excuses for what he has to work with.
It was, what's he supposed to do? I mean, seriously, what was he supposed to do?
I have to teach this guy football?
Right. What'd you call this play in college? Purple. Okay. You know, I asked, oh my gosh, who's that running back we had from Maryland? He was a snowboarder. Short guy. Anyways.
You Lance know Ball?
Yes. You are good. There you go.
That's Rando.
That's nice job. Nice
pickup.
Did a
show with him at Arby's.
Wow.
Yes. Big time.
They have the meats.
Both of us. They have the meats.
What do you mean?
Got a free cup, a Broncos cup out of the deal.
Well, at Arby's?
Yeah.
Drive through?
No, inside.
Just inside?
In store dining.
Must have been a big money maker.
Got $25 for that one.
There you go. So Lance Ball, you know, I was talking. Lance is a really cool guy, and I go, well, what, you know, what'd you run in high school? Like, what was high school, right? And he goes, yeah, it was just Lance left, Lance right. I go, no, seriously, what were your plays? He goes, no, seriously, that's what we called Lance left, Lance right. And you realize at certain levels, if you're really, you know, that good, the things are simple because the coaches don't want to get fired.
Yeah.
They just figure out what you can do and they just do it over and over again. And at Memphis, it was just nothing to it.
That's what we talked about Trevor Lawrence yesterday, and that's what I'm concerned about. I need to see more of what he can do for the next 2 years.
All right, understandable.
He got bailed out. A lot of his throws in the championship game were just throw it up to the receiver.
True.
It's Randy Moss out there. Just throw it up.
There's all sorts of good stuff. I don't think that was a dumb press conference at all. I love that press conference.
That's because he made a joke of it.
Well, it was funny.
He's not all serious. If he was serious, it would be terrible. His jokes would fall flat.
The Tommy Maddox thing was great. So, by the way, so I'm talking to Woody Page after. It's always good to see Woody. Woody's awesome. And I was like, because when it comes to, like, just the Broncos history, when you talk to, like, Woody or, like, Sandy Clough, it's really cool because they really were there for all of it. And for as much as we're with Twitter and social media then, well, there was none of that, obviously, back then. So the circle of people who really, like, knew stuff was way smaller. You couldn't get away with you could get away with a lot more stuff. But because of that, just everything was just ridiculous. So Woody told me a story that Dan Reeves was trying to dump John Elway. Just didn't like him anymore.
Forever. Anymore. I don't think he ever did.
Specifically, he wanted to trade him to the Redskins. And apparently he had a deal in place to trade Elway to the Redskins. And it was all set to go, and he finally went up to Pat Bowlen and said, okay, you know, I got this deal. And Pat Bowlen was just like beside himself, like, what are you, nuts? And he just, you know, he shot it down. This was right before the draft for Tommy Maddox. So think of the cojones on Dan Reeves. Like, this deal just got shot down by the owner. Like, no, you're not doing this. And he goes and drafts Tommy Maddox anyway.
Didn't Reeves get fired right after that?
I asked that. It took 2 years.
Wasn't it 92?
Woody told me, I mean, we can look it up, I suppose, when Reeves got fired after Tommy Maddox. But Woody told me 2 years. We can do a little digging on that. Which amazed me that he lasted 2 years after doing something like that. But if I'm Elway, I remember that, obviously, for the rest of my life. You know, that's a guy that I'm never, ever going to trust. What's that, Richie? 92, what year was Tommy Maddox drafted?
Well, I know Reeves was gone in 92.
Yeah.
Because Wade came in 93. Maddox was, so a year after.
So Woody was wrong. It was right after.
So you're saying the guys that have been around the team all this time aren't right?
Well, Woody's, you know, it's all right. You can see where you get. But that makes sense. That makes more sense.
Well,
you know,
they had a bad year, too.
Right. You screwed up the draft because you took a quarterback because you couldn't stand the other guy. And I didn't want you to do it. I'm the owner. And you do it anyway. And you piss off my guy. And you guys don't get along. Why are you? So then the owner just has to make a decision. You know, who is? I think that's an easy decision. Seriously, is it Dan Reeves or John Elway? I mean, what's the debate? How'd that work out? So that's John. So this is the same deal this year, by the way. If you draft a quarterback at 10, you know, if you draft a quarterback at 10, you're just saying that, you know, you don't like Joe Flacco. So why would they do that? It makes no sense.
Why'd Baltimore do it last year?
Well, that was different because they got, see, that's where it changes a little bit because you move back up. It's a little quirkier. It's a little bit different.
This way you can coach it as this guy's for the future. Joe, yeah. You're our guy this year.
If you move up to 31, 20, by the way, I was talking to.
But you're not saying at 10.
No, not at 10. At 10, it's like, we don't like you. You're gone. You're history.
You had one mini camp.
Right.
You can't play anymore. We thought you were in your prime.
By the way, he looked fine during the mini camp. He did, yeah.
In shorts and t-shirts.
He looked great. They wore helmets. I think they wore pants. Right. Two of the 3 days they wore pants.
They were pants with no pads in them.
Well, don't get technical.
That's not pads.
Okay.
Make it sound like it was padded practices
out
there.
I'm saying they had pants and a helmet on.
My point is, I'm saying you can't gauge Joe Flacco from that, and Chris Harris Jr. wasn't there.
Well, John said he looked good. John said that.
Everybody looks good. Case Keesum.
He killed it.
He looked great in camp last year.
Dominated.
How good was he? He was unbelievable.
You should have seen Trevor Siemian in camp.
Then when everybody could see him play.
You know what's crazy? You could see like how bad Paxton Lynch was like in camp.
Yeah.
Like,
Tebow was the same way.
It was brutal. It's like, oh my God.
It's immediate.
Yeah.
But the word out of Dove Valley will be great practice.
How'd that work out?
I don't know how that worked out. Didn't work out good. I told you, the one of the funniest Paxton. There's always like quirky little moments with these guys who are complete failures. The one with Paxton Lynch is they're working a drill inside, and it's fourth down, and the game's over. I mean, the scoreboard's running like it's that type of period. It's, you know, fourth and goal. We're down by four. You know, this is it. Right?
Yeah.
And we're all inside. And this is going against the defense. Nobody's hitting or anything, but the ball's like at the 6-yard line. And it's just one of the most classic Paxton Lynch moments of his entire career. He rolls out to the right. Keep in mind, the game is over if you don't score a touchdown in this particular drill. There's nobody obviously open. He can't run in. He's, you know, going to be short. He takes the ball and hooks it 15 feet over everybody's head, smashing it into the wall.
Threw it away to stop the clock.
Game's over.
Fourth down.
There were 3 seconds to go, like, with a
play started. I thought you were going to say he was going to ground it.
That was Mark Sanchez. That was the classic Mark Sanchez move. So that's the Paxton. I call that the Paxton patch because you can still see a patch of where the football hit, you know, 10 feet above all the media's head. I mean, it wasn't as bad that it happened right when the media was there. Like, he threw the ball over everybody's head. I mean, throw an interception. Throw it at somebody. I mean, do anything. The game's over one way or the other. It was just one of those moments like, are you insane? The Sanchez story is this is during training camp, and it's third down, and there's no time left on the clock, and you're down by two with about 10 seconds to go, but no timeouts. So think about everybody in the car. Think about this situation. You're the quarterback. It's third down. You're down by two. You got no timeouts, and there's like 10 seconds to go. And what do you do?
Clock it.
Right. Mark Sanchez takes a knee.
And the time runs out.
The defense, it was hysterical.
He took a knee like they won?
He took a knee. Aqib Talib and Chris Harris start jumping up and down. Because the whole drill was just to get the field goal unit on the field. Like, the defense wasn't even trying. So, Sanchez takes a knee. Aqib was a riot. I got to admit, Aqib was funny. So, he starts jumping up and down, celebrating like we just won. Sanchez is looking around like, what happened? And they don't even let him, you know, do it again. It's like, it was so bad.
That's the point.
We can laugh at these things now, Tommy. You know what I'm saying?
How'd that work out?
That was good. All right, we'll go through some more of this stuff. It was fun. I think it was more fun than people are giving credit for. Well, do you have the beginning, the very beginning of the... We'll get to it next. Von Miller is... Von is a riot in the offseason because he just says things that just mean... He's a loose cannon, you know. Mm. Von will just say stuff that... He'll recruit players to come to the team that'll never be here. He'll say stuff that, you know... He probably shouldn't say. Von's a riot to follow in the offseason.
Mm. And during the season. He says anything. He's different.
Chris
he's a different
Harris,
guy.
He's a different Von. He third-persons himself, I mean,
yeah,
relentlessly. Earl Boykin's on the Nuggets tonight as they try to take care of the Spurs. Off and running right here.
How'd that work out?
On the drive.
Most irrelevant press conference.
Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I will check in with Earl Boykins on the Nuggets and the Spurs here in about 15-20 minutes or so. John was filled with it today. It was awesome.
How'd that work out?
It was awesome.
Most irrelevant press conference. Well, just so you guys know.
Thanks, John.
I should have got a better laugh. It was funny. That was really funny.
It was funny. I agree. It was no...
How'd that work out?
That got the room going.
Yeah.
Richie, pull up how that worked out with the laughs afterwards. I mean, it was like legit laughs.
Yeah.
Usually they're the phony Dove Valley
Patrick
laughs.
Patrick Smyth wasn't behind everybody tickling them to get some laughs going.
Patrick was holding up a cue card. Laugh. It was like Saturday Night Live, you know, just like. Here's Vaughn on Sirius.
I'm going to be more in coverage this year, and I've always felt like, you know, coverage is a huge part of my game. You know, I don't want to just rush the passer every single play. You know, there's so many pass rush moves that you can have, you know, over a course of a game. I feel like the team can really use, you know, my pass rush abilities. I'll be dropping the coverage, and I'll be rushing the passer this season. But you know, Coach Fangio, he's an excellent defensive coordinator. He has answers for everything.
What is he talking about?
I hope he's lying or joking.
Let's listen to that one more time.
I'm going to be more in coverage this year, and I've always felt...
I'm going to be more in coverage this year. Okay, gotcha.
Like, you know, coverage is a huge part of my game. You know, yeah. I don't want to just...
What?
No, it's not.
Really? Does anybody think coverage is a huge part of Von Miller's game?
No, they didn't pay him for that.
You're not doing Old Spice commercials because of your coverage.
Keep going with the pass rush moves.
All right.
Rush the passer every single play. You know, there's only so many pass rush moves that you can have, you know, over...
Nobody's figured out his pass rush moves. Nobody can block him one-on-one.
Dude, you're unstoppable. How many moves do you need?
You just be Vaughn out there.
Yeah. You could literally tell the tackles, I'm doing the Matrix here. Well, stop it.
If he's going to drop back in coverage, Bradley Chubb's going to go from double-digit sacks to three.
As great as Vaughn is on Vaughn against like a wide receiver is ridiculous. Vaughn can't really even cover tight ends. It's not his thing.
Mm-mm.
He did.
He's got to be joking.
Okay.
Who is he on with?
Serious.
They believed him? They didn't call him on it?
I'll play the rest of it.
Of course, of the game. I feel like the team can really use, you know, my pass rush abilities.
Kidding.
He just contradicted himself.
I know.
I thought they needed your coverage abilities.
I'm going to cover more. But I can't. There's only so many pass rushes, yeah. But they need my...
Ed Donatel's going, Vaughn's good at pass rushing. Let's drop in coverage.
More.
I feel like the team can really use, you know, my pass rush abilities. I'll be dropping in coverage, and I'll be rushing the passer this season. You know, Coach Fangio, he's an excellent defensive coordinator. He has answers for everything.
Maybe he's just talking base defense or something like that.
You gotta love Vaughn.
Put him on a tight end.
Tight ends would eat Vaughn alive.
You think so?
No, I've seen it. It's not his thing. No, it's not his thing. He doesn't know how to do it. He hasn't done it.
Yeah, but if they actually coach him up and he knows what he's doing, what put him on Kittle.
Wade Phillips called one great play where Vaughn dropped back and Tom Brady was shocked and threw the ball in his stomach.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I'm saying on routine basis, in base defense.
He's going to do that more?
He's a linebacker. He is a linebacker.
You know what?
Talking third and 10. Rushing the passer.
How about just Vaughn be awesome being Vaughn, and that's it. Although it seems contradictory because he said earlier this year he wants to put on weight.
He has put on weight. Doesn't he put on weight every year? I always read stories of him either gaining weight or losing weight.
It's something different every year.
He's probably the same every year.
Probably.
He's about 255. 250.
Oh, I don't think he's that big. No way.
You don't think he's 250?
He was supposedly down around 238 last year.
End of the year?
No, beginning of the year, supposedly. Said he wanted to play around.
The year before, he was at 250. Well, he lost weight because he wanted to be in better shape. This year, he wants to be stronger.
When he hurt his ACL and he got suspended, he came back looking like the Incredible Hulk. He came back just huge. Like, he spent all of his time in the weight room and was way too big. You know, he couldn't do anything.
Yeah, 2014, he had a pretty good year, though. After surgery?
He looked ridiculous. It was after the surgery.
The suspension happened during that season.
Yeah.
But I think he was killing it.
I don't know. He's gone up and down. It's like a yo-yo. I'll just trust that Vaughn is great to do what he does great, which is rush the passer, and nobody's going to ask him
just
to do anything else.
Good interviews.
It's tricky having a guy who's a captain of your team who just makes no sense.
He's off on the shark charges. You see that?
No, what's that?
Yeah, they dropped the charges.
The shark charges.
Yeah.
Was that recent?
It may have been weighing on him. It just happened. No, it happened. The charges just got dropped like yesterday.
Yeah. When did it get dropped?
Yesterday.
What? Yeah. Oh, well, good for Vaughn.
Yeah.
The shark charges are gone.
The weight is off his shoulders.
He was worried about those shock charges.
Is that how I said it? I say shock.
I think I got a little shock charges right there.
I'm trying to get away from that accent again.
When we come
once
back,
again.
Good luck. When we come back, by the way, during the break, do this. Scott DeHuff, who's really funny, go to Scott DeHuff's Twitter and look up Scott DeHuff teaching his kids how to speak Bostonian. It's great. He's got his two kids in the car, the car, and he's trying to teach his kids how to talk Bostonian. Look that up, okay? Scott DeHuff, that'd be fun, plus Earl Boykins. It's The Drive on the Fan.
No sleep till...
You're listening to The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
We'll have Earl Boykins on here in just a little bit. Preview tonight's playoff action with the Nuggets and the Spurs. We'll be at Stoney's Uptown Joint. Me, you, Tom Nalen, Nick Ferguson, Mark Schlereth. It's going to be fun. Fan draft party presented by Coors Light. It's where we were last year. We had Chad Kelly with us last year, so we don't know who to curse this year. So
sounds like I got the night off. Stink?
Well, Nick? It could be. Right?
What am I going to say?
Get yourself a good dinner. Well, the crazy thing is, will the Broncos, I'm just telling you right now, last year I was the same way. I was like, okay, I was devastated when they took Bradley Chubb. I just was beside myself. I couldn't believe it. But I sat there and I was like, you know what? Hold on here, because they could still move back up for Lamar Jackson. And, you know, everybody, you know, once the Broncos, because the Broncos drafted so early in the draft, I mean, everybody was going crazy. And, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours later, whenever you get to the end of the draft, everybody's like, you know, signed off. Everybody's barely paying attention. And I was trying to rally everybody, like, hang on, hang on, hang on. It could happen. Nobody was paying attention. You know, draft 29, draft 30. You know, nobody cares. And all of a sudden, the Ravens made a move. And I was like, well, now it's, you know, now it's done. But could you see the Broncos doing that this year?
To get back in?
Yep.
For a quarterback?
Yep. Specifically Drew Lock.
I sure. Because the risk... End of the first, you're not giving up a lot to get back in to the back of the first round. And I think quarterbacks are going to drop. So I think you're going to have quality at the end of the first round. You get the extra fifth year option.
Yep.
I could see him doing it because it doesn't cost you as much.
And the
taking him at 10 to me, he's not going to have an impact this year.
The expectations, especially if you're the second guy drafted in the first round.
Like DT.
Well, Tebow. Tebow was second.
Oh, Tebow was second.
Yeah.
I am flipped.
It was like Robert Ayers was second after Noshon was drafted, I think. Did I get that right? Might have been the other way. But Tebow was definitely after DT, for sure. So you just don't have, like, nobody was really sitting there, you know, just dying for Tebow to play. It all sort of made sense. It was all fun.
Nobody was dying to see Tebow play?
Well, except all the fans.
Nobody could care less about DT. He was the forgotten
people,
one.
People
the
forgot,
one picked
yeah.
first, he was forgotten. He was injured. But
he was hurt, yeah.
Tebow was, people were clamoring for Tebow. Are you kidding me?
The fans were, but not the players or coaches.
That was the most exciting pick the Broncos have made since John Elway.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was pretty awesome.
How'd that work out?
How'd that work out, Sean? How did that work out?
How'd that work out?
It was good. Kinda.
It was not good.
They went to the playoffs. They were one and four. They made the playoffs.
They were 8-8. They were terrible. They had a good defense.
They beat their way back into the playoffs.
That was a terrible division.
The funniest part was all the AFC West t-shirts and hats that were just like in plastic wrap because none of the players actually wanted to open them up. I mean, they were literally a little embarrassed. Chris Harris loved it. Chris was like, yeah.
Free shirt.
I think this is great. We'll get to the quarterback situation again for the Broncos with football at 4.
But inside, Harris, a little football from Bellinelli. Murray, back it up. There it goes. Oh, Blue arrow. Murray's on the run. He's smart. He lets it go. Let's go.
We are joined by Earl Boykins, presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, rmfp.com. Check out Earl and Zach on the Mile High Hoops podcast at 1043thefan.com. Well, Earl, they took your advice, and look what happened. Amazing, huh?
It's amazing. Sometimes I get one right, D-Mac. Sometimes I get one right.
You know, why don't you explain what you had been saying and what happened?
For the past a week before the playoffs ended, I just felt the Nuggets needed to make a change to their lineup. And I felt that the change that they should make was bring Will Barton off the bench. And in game four, Coach Malone finally decided to bring Will Barton off the bench, and the Nuggets had success. And the reason that I felt that way was, yeah, Will hasn't been playing good, but I just felt going up against San Antonio, it would help the team both offensively and defensively. I think Jamal has been struggling, guarding Derek White for the San Antonio Spurs, and I just felt Gary Harris was a better matchup. And I felt Torrey Craig, because he's bigger, both height-wise and weight-wise, he can get the ball, he can guard DeMar DeRozan a lot better. And game four, they made the change, and the Nuggets were successful.
Well, Earl, with all that being said, after the first quarter, you're still down 12 points. My question to you is, what happens in the NBA when between the first and second quarter, you're down 12? By halftime, it's tied. At the end of the third quarter, they're up 12. What's happening in the first quarter, between the first and second quarter? What is Coach Malone saying at that point and at halftime to create a 24-point swing?
I just think it's just the end of the game. The difference in the Nuggets this year and in the past is the Nuggets are better than everyone in the NBA, including Golden State players 4 through 9. So once the game gets rolling, the longer you go into the game, once teams make subs, the Nuggets have the advantage. Hmm. The Nuggets starters actually don't have to win any games. The Nuggets starters just need to keep the game close, or just don't give up just don't get down by a large amount. By that I mean, if the Nuggets are within 5 points, once the subs start to come into the game, the Nuggets have the advantage.
So that's what happened. Why doesn't Coach Popovich make a switch in his rotation, and when Gary Harris goes out of the game, you keep your starters in? Because their whole problem is ball on defense and giving up these easy layups throughout the first quarter. You saw that. Why not kind of tinker with his own lineup now to combat what Coach Malone has done?
Well, if you keep DeMar DeRozan in the game, the longer that DeMar's in the game, the more fatigued he becomes. The more fatigued he becomes, the more pressure he feels. DeMar DeRozan, like the different Nuggets in this aspect, he hasn't had a lot of playoff experience. Well, success. He has a lot of experience in terms of game played, but every year in Toronto, they get swept. They get swept, and I think that's what led to him getting a technical foul at the end of the game. It wasn't that play necessarily that caused him to be that upset. No one gets that upset over one play. It was the culmination of everything that's going on, and I personally think that DeMar is feeling just as much pressure as the Denver Nuggets to get out of this first round. Mm. Because there's a lot of people under the belief that the reason that the Toronto Raptors didn't get out of the first round, didn't have a lot of success in the East, was because DeMar DeRozan hasn't played well in the playoffs.
All right, Earl, then, who do you like tonight? I mean, I assume the Nuggets will go with the same strategy, and it sounds like the Spurs don't have much of a choice. So it's got to favor the Nuggets, right?
There are things that the Spurs can do. I think there's something the Spurs can do. For instance, I don't think they would attack the offensive rebound with 3 guys, 4 guys, because when you do that, that just leads to the Nuggets running out and getting fast break points. So I expect the game to be slower. I think San Antonio's going to try to slow the game down on purpose so they have better defensive balance. But I'm looking at a 7-game series, and I have the Nuggets winning tonight.
Earl, we appreciate it. Love the insight. It's Earl Boykins, brought to you by rmfp.com. Earl and Zach on the Mile High Hoops podcast at 1043thefan.com. When we come back, football at 4, John Elway sort of talking about quarterbacks. We'll dig into it next.